We were talking about this earlier, and it seems like Mr. Obama was, by all accounts, a little bit more sober and less inspirational, but he really set the tone for what is ahead in the next 4 years.
Yeah, that's right, Chris and Amy. We've obviously become accustomed to the Grant Park speech that he gave on election night after he won, or that speech at Mile High Stadium in Denver after he accepted the nomination last summer, or even that memorable speech that he gave at the Democratic Convention about 6 years ago when he first came into national prominence. Today's speech definitely was different. President Obama, in a speech delivered before almost a million people gathered not only at the Capitol, but on the Mall, almost back to 14th Street, took note of the place that he has in history and the challenges that he and the nation face.
44 Americans have now taken the presidential oath. The words have been spoken during rising tides of prosperity and the still waters of peace. Yet, every so often, the oath is taken amidst gathering clouds and raging storms. At these moments, America has carried on not simply because of the skill or vision of those in high office, but because we, the people, have remained faithful to the ideals of our forebears and true to our founding documents. So it has been, so it must be with this generation of Americans. That we are in the midst of crisis is now well understood. Our nation is at war against a far-reaching network of violence and hatred. Our economy is badly weakened, a consequence of greed and irresponsibility on the part of some, but also our collective failure to make hard choices and prepare the nation for a new age. Homes have been lost, jobs shed, businesses shuttered. Our health care is too costly, our schools fail too many, and each day brings further evidence that the ways we use energy strengthen our adversaries and threaten our planet. These are the indicators of crisis, subject to data and statistics. Less measurable, but no less profound, is a sapping of confidence across our land. A nagging fear that America's decline is inevitable, that the next generation must lower its sights. Today, I say to you that the challenges we face are real. They are serious and they are many. They will not be met easily or in a short span of time. But know this, America, they will be met.
Mr. Obama borrowed loosely from the Bible to make his case that for the nation to overcome its present difficulties, it's going to have to change in fundamental and meaningful ways.
We remain a young nation, but in the words of Scripture, the time has come to set aside childish things. The time has come to reaffirm our enduring spirit, to choose our better history, to carry forward that precious gift, that noble idea passed on from generation to generation, the God-given promise that all are equal, all are free, and all deserve a chance to pursue their full measure of happiness.
And Mr. Obama also took note of what his predecessor, George W. Bush, called the war on terror, which he prefers to talk about in more prosaic terms.
As for our common defense, we reject as false the choice between our safety and our ideals. Our founding fathers, faced with perils that we can scarcely imagine, drafted a charter to assure the rule of law and the rights of man, a charter expanded by the blood of generations. Those ideals still light the world, and we will not give them up for expedience's sake. And so, to all the other peoples and governments who are watching today, from the grandest capitals to the small village where my father was born, know that America is a friend of each nation and every man, woman, and child who seeks a future of peace and dignity, and we are ready to lead once more. Recall that earlier generations generations face down fascism and communism, not just with missiles and tanks, but with the sturdy alliances and enduring convictions. They understood that our power alone cannot protect us, nor does it entitle us to do as we please. Instead, they knew that our power grows through its prudent use. Our security emanates from the justness of our cause, the force of our example, the tempering qualities of humility and restraint. We are the keepers of this legacy. Guided by these principles once more, we can meet those new threats that demand even greater effort, even greater cooperation and understanding between nations. We will begin to responsibly leave Iraq to its people and forge a hard-earned peace in Afghanistan. With old friends and former foes, we will work tirelessly to lessen the nuclear threat and roll back the specter of a warming planet.
And this president is very much a student of history.
Oh,
and
yeah.
he just had one reference to history after another. And just, I liked at the end of the speech, he quoted George Washington in saying, "Let it be told to the future world that in the depth of winter, when nothing but hope and virtue could survive, that the city and the country, alarmed in one common danger, came forth to meet it." And probably an allusion to the challenges that he is going to face as the 44th president of the United States.
And I think, Max, you hit upon it, that it was a very somber tone. Mm-hmm. It was uplifting, though, particularly at the end.
It was certainly
was. Quite inspirational. And, you know, you saw the tears of the people in the crowd and a lot of jubilation there. It was historic. I don't mean to sound trite, but it really was.
And I think this man has an amazing ability. You know, there's so much to be said for feeling the time and the place, mm-hmm. and he manages to wrap that both those in words and capture sort of them in a very unique way. I think
nicely said, Chris. Yeah. That's where I was trying to get to, but I couldn't do it. But look at you, the wordsmith. That's exactly right. You nailed it.